Damn it, Nick.
I love being on here with you guys, Nick and Joe. I really appreciate it.
Literally too long didn't read.
TLDR, you guys are awesome.
So an interesting thing happened over the weekend. So Violet, my daughter, has been, like, all her friends have lost at least a tooth. And she hasn't. She's had one that's been wiggly as shit, but hasn't lost it. So she finally lost her tooth. We're at the theater, movie theater, Sunday morning, watching Kung Fu Panda 4. Delightful movie. And halfway through the movie, I get a little elbow in my ribs. And she says, "Dad, I can't find my tooth." And I don't think it fell out of her mouth, Nicholas. I think it fell in.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, the tooth fairy, you know, didn't get a tooth because we weren't sifting through anything to find it. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, teethless people of all ages, teethless, toothless people of all ages.
It works either way.
Geeks Worldwide Radio and the Dork Shared Gooniverse proudly present to you. It is with my honor to present to you the greatest podcasting team in the world. He's the comic book writer, Nick Fryer. I'm your friendly neighborhood backracker, Dr. Joe. And together we are the TLDR Comic Book Club. Baby! Nicholas, how's it going?
I am doing just dandy, Joe. Although, I did, for those who listened to our latest Fireside Chat, I do have to own that I can't get mad at you anymore about me getting screwed over when I call dibs on books and then I get cucked by our interviews because we had Tony Fleece on recently and that was 100% my doing. I had called dibs on Feral, but then I was like, see if we can maybe slide into Tony's DMs and get him on the show. Worked out, had a great time talking with him. If you haven't listened to it yet and you're, you know, watching us on our Twitter, YouTube, or on Instagram Live right now and wondering, why the hell can't I listen to that? Why can't I go and watch it? You can't listen to it. You can't watch it. It's only available on our audio channels. We're talking Apple, Spotify, Geek Worldwide Radio, Amazon, podcast, all the major podcasting platforms. The only place you can find our Fireside Chats. Those are conversations with creators across the industry. We tend to talk to writers more often. They tend to be a little bit easier to access. Although Tony did break a streak for us, Joe, where we'd had creative teams on for like three or four conversations in a row. You have Axel and Michael Coast on at the same time as well. So it's the first time in a while we had like we were playing a zone or two on a box in one, I guess is the best way to put it.
I think you've got to go back to November, the last time that we had a solo creator on. Maybe like early that. December. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that I got to tell you guys, we warn you every time if you're new to the show, this is the first time you're hearing it, make sure you subscribe to those audio channels, even if you love watching us on our stream, because we never know when the next Fireside Chat is coming. You'll know when you see, you know, oh, we're doing new comics only this week. We're not doing a trade. But because these things pop up out of nowhere, whether it's, you know, people reaching out to us, scheduling changes happening with people or people we had talked to previously, you name it, they can come out of anywhere. We've had back-to-back Fireside Chats, and you never know when the next one's going to come. Although if we got new comics up right now, then you never know. But I can't say if there's nothing in the can. We don't want to jinx anything. But we had a great time with Tony, and I know you've been dying to talk to him for a long time between Stray Dogs and local band now Feral.
Well, I think last time we had Kyle Higgins on, we had Stray Dogs had come up, and he's like, "Oh, I know Tony. I'll give you his contact information." And we never followed up with that, and we should have.
Yeah.
And but here we are, and you know what I'll say is one, very kind, very kind. You know, he was kind to us. Thanking us for, you know, the clips and stuff that we do regarding whenever, you know, whether it's Local Man or Feral or Straight, all that stuff. So that was nice. But he was very, very interesting and very fun to talk to, you know, especially I love talking to the creators that are both writers and artists.
Yeah.
And especially when they're writing the book and not drawing the book, you know, talking to them about the process and all that. So Feral, make sure you grab that drops next week, or depending on when you listen to this, should be dropping very soon. But then the concept for his upcoming book, Uncanny Valley, which the FOC for that, unfortunately, by the time you're listening to this, has come and gone. But, you know, you can always just tell your local comic book shop you want it on your pull list. And that sounds like a fun fucking ride. That's from Boom Studios.
Yeah, and we'll be doing an early look on that leading up to Uncanny Valley, because Tony sent us the review copies of that. Very excited to check that out. But yeah, I had an absolute blast. Got some fun insight too. We always tend to get like some level of behind the scenes stuff from creators. It can vary in a litany of ways. Some of it with Tony was a little bit more procedural stuff, but it's still like it was some of the more interesting details I think we've ever gotten behind the scenes stuff. We won't spoil it any more than that. Make sure you go check it out if you haven't already. But had an absolute blast with him. And by the way, I just want to make sure it's known, it was Dave Dwanch who is.
Oh, yes. Tony. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah.
Tony Fleece. We've been saying Tony Fleece forever, too.
Yeah.
And that's
Fleece as white as snow.
There you go. But yes, so make sure you subscribe to the audio channels. Go check out that chat with Tony. You never know when the next one's coming. I can promise you Tony won't be the last. And also, it probably won't be the last time we have Tony on. He brought up having him on after the end of the first arc of Feral. So maybe we'll circle back with him at some point after that. But anyways, enough about that, Joe. Let's get to catching up. This is actually a little bit of a role reversal. You don't got anything in catching up this week, right?
Well, and I'll fucking tell you why, Nicholas. It is fucking birthday season. You know what the worst thing about being a parent is? Other kids' fucking birthday parties.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
You're not the
fucking Christ. You know, we had to tag team. Megan took Violet to one on Friday night. And then I took Violet to one on Saturday. And then this coming weekend, there's three more in two fucking days.
Wow.
Jeez. I didn't tell Megan. I said, I think we need to axe one of these because it's a bit much. It's a bit much, you know. And the one on Friday was Friday night from 5 to 7. So of course, right, my kid, I love her to death, but we're all prone to melting down. God knows I've done it a few times on this program. And just, man, that's like, why would you do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy smokes! So I didn't get a chance to read. And I'm bummed because I've got some really great books I need to catch up on. One of them being the TMNT book that I had said last week I'll talk about this week, but it'll have to wait another week.
I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say what everybody else is thinking that's listening right now. That is a very weird flex on you talking about how popular your kid is. She's got too many birthdays to go to. So weird flex by you.
So here's the thing, Nicholas. Again, it's not a fucking flex because you're going to find out that when your kid has a birthday party, you got to invite the entire fucking class.
Oh no, really? Yes. Now I know when my parents. So either my parents never.
So you got to do it on the. You got to do it on the side, right? That's how you know you're in. Is when you go to the birthday party and the entire class isn't there.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know, but I will say too, in fairness, I definitely learned some like parenting gripe things from you, like that. Like that's a thing. This is one that I heard from other people before I've heard from you. I'm like surprisingly that like just kid how other kids' birthdays can be like, you know, a lot of extra that you don't necessarily need. But
and here's the other thing, it's not typically something that the dads go to. It's usually like the moms, right? Mm-hmm. And so like. You could tell like that all the kids were at the party the night before because the party I was at was mostly dads, right? So it's like we all conceded the Friday night party. We'll take the Saturday one, right? But it's like, you know, it's just like, it's a bunch of fucking people I don't want to talk to, right? Just get this fucking thing going so I can get back home.
That sounds much fun. Well, for those of us who don't have children yet, I got to catch up on stuff since we last convened. I am all caught up on I Hate Fairyland. I had to read issues 11 and 12 of the newest run, but I had been catching up on that part. I talked about the initial run of I Hate Fairyland on the show not too long ago, and just outstanding stuff, Joe. I think when you're looking for something to binge again, this needs to move at the top of your pile. I think you're going to absolutely love this thing.
Yeah, I can't wait. I got to read that, and I'm finding now that like I need more. Like, there's certain books that I'm finding just lend themselves to being binge read.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I talked about this with like the Enfield Gang Massacre. That book needed to be read all in one trade.
Mm-hmm.
I have a DC book, Nicholas, that I'm going to talk about that I'm starting to feel that way with.
Oh, interesting.
Needing to binge, because there's some titles that, like, when you read them month to month, it's not that they lose something, but I think when you can read it all as one, it's the only way I've read this title previously, was all in one shot, and I've enjoyed it very much that way. But I want to mention that because there's a book coming up when we get to DC that I'll mention that on.
Well, we'll get to that shortly. Of course, we got Marvel to get through first, but before I do that, I do want to mention Vengeance of the Moon Knight. I've read the first two issues of Jed McKay's new Moon Knight title. I am all caught up. I will elaborate on that more because we have another issue of that out this week. So let's get started with what's new. What do we got from Marvel?
All right. From Marvel, the week of March 20th, 2024, the year of our Lord, we have Fantastic Four issue 13. We have Fantastic Four issue 18. We have The Invincible Iron Man issue 16. We have Resurrection of Magneto issue 3. Blade issue 9, Spider-Boy issue 5, Black Panther issue 10, Spider-Woman issue 5, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver issue 2, Star Wars The High Republic issue 5, Captain Marvel issue 6, Star Wars Thrawn Alliances issue 3, Wolverine Madripoor Knights issue 2, Night Thrasher issue 2, Beware the Planet of the Apes issue 3, X-Men Forever issue 1. This is written by Kieran Gillen. I wanted to get to this one this week, just didn't get a chance to. We have Web of Spider-Man issue 1. Another book I wanted to get to, Star Wars Visions issue 1. This, of course, is the written and drawn by Takashi. Takashi Okazaki.
Thank okay. you. Well done, sir.
And Jango Fett issue 1. And then the book, Nicholas, you want to touch upon real quick is
Vengeance of the Moon Knight issue 3. This is Jed McKay and Alessandro Capuccio. They, of course, did all the latest Moon Knight run, and they've been doing this title for a little bit. I've played a lot of catch up when it comes to this title. I am going to do a standalone episode. I'm waiting to see how this one ends to decide which one I want to do. I'm leaning towards just the Moon Knight one, but we'll see where this goes. But Vengeance of the Moon Knight issue 3. What's been going on right now is you have this guy who's come back as Moon Knight because Mark Spector is supposedly dead. We have not seen this guy unmasked to this point coming into issue 3. And we're hearing like, no, it's not Mark Spector. Tigra is kind of given like taken a pretty significant stance on it. And she, her and Mark were a thing when Mark did pass recently, but I've loved what they've done so far. And this imposter Moon Knight is kind of turning back the clock in doing stuff Moon Knight's done in the past where he's like really heavily targeting villains and not just trying to protect like the travelers at night. And really recently with like Jed McKay's run, he'd taken on like the Midnight Mission that he'd gone and built and everything. But now that he's gone, this guy's saying like, no, like I am Moon Knight. I'm not an imposter, and he's going to go after all these people. And it's getting a little bit crazier in this issue. There's a specific thing that Mark Spector used to do that this guy is now doing that comes up in this issue. And it was the imagery was just, it was perfect. And even like this, the first page that you get in this issue, I'm sure some people have seen the preview pages. I love the design of this imposter Moon Knight because it still looks like him, but there have been some pretty significant changes. So I'm really enjoying it. And then on top of it, if you liked the Moon Knight run originally, you're dealing with a lot of the same characters from before, and they're kind of fed up with this guy. And they take some steps in this issue towards trying to deal with that situation. So I'm all in on Vengeance of the Moon Knight. I'm all in on what Jed McKay's been doing recently. And obviously we found out that he's going to be doing one of the X-Men titles with friend of the show Ryan Segal, which actually we probably should have talked about off the top.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that real quick. So you know, I love it because we've been in the Krakoa era, right? For 4 years now, 5 years now.
Been a minute,
right? And so now we've been talking at length about the fall of Krakoa and all of that, and now it looks like we're getting the next run of X-Men. And this feels a lot more classic X-Men to me, right? Just from the art styles I've seen, like Ryan Segment's been posting a lot of stuff on his Instagram and on Twitter about his art designs for the, for, you know, his upcoming title that he's working on and everything else. So I can't wait, especially now where we, I think, you know, again, by the time you're listening to this, if you're watching us live, it's tomorrow. By the time you, you know, you're downloading this audio, I believe it's, it, it'll be out, X-Men 97, the animated series, which
I've been
ripping through the animated series.
Nice. You know,
lately. And just, I mean, it was such a part of my childhood. So I can't wait for that. But like, yeah, this Moon Knight stuff sounds fantastic. And the X-Men stuff coming out, it's all just kick ass.
So there's a ton of titles that got announced, but there were three primary ones, three primary X-Men teams. And I'm blanking on the names of the teams right now, but we know that one of the creative teams, as I mentioned, is Jed MacKay and Ryan Segment. And that one is headed by Cyclops. It's set in Alaska. I'm interested. I'm going to check 100%. It out. I'm not the biggest like Cyclops guy. So, but Beast is on that team too. And I'm blanking on who else. But that creative team, like, they have that respect. Like they like MacKay is an excellent writer, and obviously Ryan Segment, you know, you don't need to say more than his name. And then when it comes to then we have Gail Simone on another title. I'm blanking on her artist right now, but I remember checking out his style, and it was because the name was, I wasn't as familiar with, but it felt like similar to what we've kind of seen with X-Men over the years, and very, very like tight art style. So, but for me, it was like, okay, we have a good art style. We have Gail Simone, who I think does an outstanding job. And then the team that they have that has Wolverine, Gambit, Rogue, and Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in 1,000% for so many different reasons, but just that alone. So, I'm very excited. We saw some other titles like Wolverine, Phoenix. I know Storm's got a title as well. So, you know, we keep hearing the rumblings about Capullo being the next Wolverine artist, you know. We haven't talked to him in a long time, not since we had Scott him on with Scott Snyder. But I would love to see that.
Yeah, yeah, it's Capullo drawing Wolverine. Yes, the thing I'll say about Cyclops is I always loved Cyclops because I love his power, right? Mm. Him as you know, he's a bit of a Leonardo, if you will.
Yes, that's my problem.
Right, but I love his look, and I always loved his power. Just just whenever that was drawn, just him just shooting, you know, the laser beam, you know, out of his visor. I always fucking loved that look, and I loved you know, those mid 90s X-Men, those comics. So I am all fucking in. And I also over the weekend got a Bishop Funko Pop to add to my X-Men collection.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, Bishop. Yeah. Freaking beast, man. Real quick before we move on to DC 2, so I wanted to circle back on this. So Jed MacKay and Ryan Segment's title is simply X-Men. Gail Simone and Dave Marquez, they're doing the Uncanny X-Men. And then the third X-Men title, again, we have other ones within the world like Phoenix and Storm and whatnot.
Well, we're going to get 1,000 fucking titles here, but yeah.
They've announced them, but there's like, I think it's like 7, maybe a little more, maybe something like that. But Exceptional X-Men, that's by Eve L. Ewing and Carmen Carnero.
Who I feel like Ewing's fantastic.
No. Eve L. Ewing.
Gotcha.
Yes, not Al Ewing. But Carmen Carnero, that name seems familiar. I can't place it though. But anyways, let's move on to their best buddies, DC. We got Batman Superman World's Finest issue 25, Titans issue 9, Wonder Woman issue 7, Justice Society of America issue 9, Catwoman 63. Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong issue 6, Green Lantern War Journal issue 7, Batman 89 Echoes issue 2, DC April Special issue 1. Of course, we got John Constantine Hellblazer Dead in America issue 3, which, I mean, again, just been loving what Siceberger and Aaron Campbell do with the character.
So this is the book I was alluding to.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Because I've only read Spurrier's run on Constantine. Altogether, right? And the first two volumes are, I wouldn't call them an anthology, but like they're pretty much like, you know, singular stories, you know, in there with, you know, I think there being like a little mini arc in there. But what I find is that this character and the way that Asai, you know, writes him, is that for me, going month to month, you know, I lose something in the storytelling there, because there is a lot of that inner monologue, right, in that narration with Constantine. And, you know, the story, you know, it's not like it's a fast paced thing. And I'm not saying that as a negative, because as a singular story, I think this is one of those instances, like I talked about with Saga, right? Mm-hmm. Give me an opportunity to read it all at once, right? The volume all at once. And I think I'm going to get more out of it. And this is a me thing. Just because of, again, we read so many comics, you know, each and every week, that some books you can read and bang, 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 bang. You don't skip a beat when you go month to month. Others, when they're a little bit more heady, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's, you know, size, you know, storytelling there. I kind of need it all at once so I can just rip right through it, sort of thing.
There's like the collector in me, because I do like have certain titles that I like to get and have for myself and everything like that. Just certain covers, you know, not just for reading purposes, but also just like I like to have them. I like wouldn't want to do this, but you and I have talked about it before. I feel like a natural progression, because you see with manga where it's all just like trades essentially for them. I feel like a natural progression for comics would be we release the first issue and then you do an arc. Like you don't do, like you release it as a trade, which will then feature the first issue. You know, people want it, and maybe you don't do it for as expensive as you do them now, but like, I understand that's like taking out a major part of the business, but I also think from like a reader retention standpoint, where we always hear about there's this huge drop off after number two. I feel like if people really like number one, and they're going to check out number two, there's a decent chance that they want to check out a trade still. So that's just me. I've been thinking on that one for a long while, but people smarter than me making decisions. Maybe, I don't know. But anyways,
it all comes down to money, Nicholas. Yeah,
exactly. And I can understand how the way it is now could be more profitable than the other, but I also see how the other one could be riskier. But anyways, so we got Superman issue 12, which you are reading that title. And then you want to discuss Nightwing issue 112.
Yeah, because it's 115 starts the end of Taylor's run, right? 114, yes, right? So we're vastly and quickly approaching that. We're coming off, you know, the sea shanty arc, you know, that preceded this. I loved this issue. This was great because so much of what we've gotten with Nightwing, right, has been it's been telling sort of one big grand story, and this was a nice singular issue. It tied into the issue prior, right? So it's not like it's its own thing. You would have had to have read 111, you know, to kind of get what's going on here. But like, that was just a nice, tight, contained little two issue story, you know, that we got here. And I love this because we got a lot of great interaction between, Dick and Bruce. And again, Tom Taylor does what Chip Zdarsky does so well and sort of taps into this emotional core of this character. Now, with Daredevil being an extraordinarily flawed character, you know, what he's dealing with and grappling with is much different than what, you know, Dick Grayson is dealing with. And they're two completely different characters. I would say, like, on the goodness scale, right, they're both like extremely moral and decent human beings. But with Dick, what you have there is, you know, you're seeing it from a much more what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's a different type of goodness, right, that you get with him than you say you do with Matt Murdock. And I love what Tom has done with this character, because he's sort of put Nightwing on this pedestal, but it never feels like he's too like goody two shoes, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we got in this issue, you know, some of his training early on when he was a kid and that anger that he has, because he very much has this deep seated anger like Bruce has, but they manifest it, right? That's the real difference between Batman and Nightwing, is I think Nightwing is it's every bit as good as Batman is. But Batman just has this psychotic edge to him that Dick doesn't have. And you really kind of see that a little bit here. And I thought this was excellent. I love it. I mean, I don't want Taylor to stop writing Nightwing, because mm-hmm. He's the reason why I really give a shit about this character in the first place.
Yeah.
But I love what he's done. And I don't know. There was just something about this issue where it didn't really, you know, there was some heartless stuff in it, but it wasn't like bang, like you weren't, you know, knee deep in it, so to speak. We got just this nice tight little story here. And now, like, you can tell we're getting ready for the final send off. And I'm glad I had this before that kicked into, you know, full gear.
Nice. Yeah. He's done such a great job. I am a smidge behind on Nightwing right now, but I am very excited for Taylor's final arc. But I feel similar to you. Like, I don't want to see it end, but you know, it's going to end at some point. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles that. To give you a quick little breather, because you got another title you're about to talk about, from Skybound, we got The Walking Dead Deluxe Issue 85, G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero Issue 305, and Cobra Commander Issue 3. When you talk about catching up, that was the one book that I really wanted to catch up on this weekend and just for some reason didn't, was Transformers. I still have issue 6. But yeah, anyways, what about our friends from AWA, Joe? What do we got?
Man, we have You and I Issue 2. And I remember, you know, talking about the first issue, right, a month ago or so, when we got it. And man, so this is, again, this is J. Michael Straczynski, and this is, like I said, this is a Resistance Universe book, which I've been craving for, but it's Mike Choi's art that I think really has pulled me in these first two issues. You're dealing with this character who, you know, he's got powers, but he's got no fucking clue who he is. And what I love about Mike Choi's art here is that, you know, you're getting, you know, a lot of these panels in two different styles. You're seeing the world through the main character's eye, you, which is, as I mentioned last time, sort of like looking through the world through rose-colored glasses. Everything is awesome. Everything is really, you know, kicked up a notch. And then you'll see it, you know, the same panel sort of will have two different art styles on it, and then you're sort of seeing what the reality is. And it is dark, and it is bleak, and it is grim. And so, like, you've got bright, and you've got dark. And that's sort of, like, what this character is and sort of what the story is. And as I was reading it, issue two, I was like, you know, at first I was like, he's, like, seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. And I go, no, this is more like, you know, you're reading, it's like a schizophrenic, right? and so the character is like, he's like, it's almost like he's in a different reality, not just how he sees the world, but like the way he interacts with Isabella, who is I, and sort of this mission that he is on. You know, it's sort of like this, you know, he's not living in reality, he's you know, like a schizophrenic. There's like, you know, he's a man on a mission, and we don't know what the fuck this mission is, even if it's real or not. And I love that. It's just such an interesting story, and it's captivating. It pulls you in. The art style is absolutely dynamic. I fucking love it. Like, just, you'll get one panel, two different shades, two different colors, you know, reality versus, non-reality. And I just, it's wild. I can't wait to talk about this book in more detail, but I love it. And I'm glad that we've got another Resistance book. I think AWA we need some more Resistance titles, because it's such a fascinating concept and universe that they created. So Love this when it comes out. Can't wait to read the next one. And yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like it's been quite the experience reading that, which is whenever we can get to that level on a title, I feel like that elevated to like another level where it's not just like a great comic is awesome, but like to me when we're talking like it's an experience, it's like a next level.
And the thing too that sort of distinguishes this book from, you know, the other, you know, AWA titles that we get to, again, Mike Choi's got a very distinct art style, but like there's a grittiness I think that we've sort of grown accustomed to with AWA titles, depending on the artists, you know, they have. Mm-hmm. And this one feels more comic booky, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. I'm reading a superhero book, you know, mm-hmm. but it's really anything but, right? And I just cannot, speak highly enough of Mike Choi's art in this book.
Nice. You and I, issue 2. And then over at Boom, moving over there, Joe, because I know we got a title there that we want to discuss. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, issue 13. Lotus Land, issue 5. Dune, House Corino, issue 1. Man's Best, issue 1. Did you read Man's Best, issue 1?
I did not get a chance to read Man's Best.
I did, and it was like it was solid. It didn't. I like.
Is that Porn Check?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's the with the what is it? Support animals in space. It didn't gotcha. Move the needle for me wholly. So it was solid. Like okay, but it's you know with how many awesome books there are right now, it didn't fully do it for me. But that's just me. You may feel differently when you read it, quite honestly. But yeah. The book for me that this is. I don't talk about my book of the week too often. I don't throw that label out as often as you might, Joe. But I also don't talk about the conversation of book of the year this early often. But The Displaced has entered that conversation for me.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Because I undibsed it so you could fucking read it.
Nicholas. I read that shit before you called dibs. I didn't
want to. Yeah, but I ain't called dibs.
You did. Right? You're right.
For the first time in your life, you weren't fast enough, Quick Draw.
Yeah, look at that. It's a damn shame. But I'll tell you what, I'm in love with this book. Like so this is Ed Brisson and Luca Casalaguida. We posted actually some preview pages on Instagram. So if you haven't checked it out, you know, if you haven't looked at The Displaced at all, I'm sure there are still some, you know, first issues kind of hanging around at some local comic shop. So check that out. Check out our preview pages and then pick up the second issue. It's so good. And the best way to like sum this up is like every ounce, like the first issue was outstanding. And then every ounce of momentum that they had in that first issue maintained it and just ran with it in this issue. I absolutely love this thing. In the first issue synopsis, there was the last line said, "How can you feel connected to reality or each other if by all veritable means, you don't exist?" And this issue, like that first issue, they kind of like allude, they talked about that, but they didn't dig into that. This issue, they start digging into that. And it's to the point, Joe, I'm not joking, where I read the first issue and I was like, this feels like it could happen. And then the second issue, I'm like Ed Brisson and Luca Casalaguida are making me wonder, has this happened to people in real life? It feels that odd and real to me. I'm not kidding.
This issue got very meta, and I wasn't expecting it. You know, I didn't know where, you know, things were going to go after the first issue, but I was very excited. And then we get there, and just the interactions that the various characters had with meaningful people in their lives. And then what was happening to the old man that we met in the first issue, like the way this one ended, again, like you talk about it, like momentum, like it took every ounce of intrigue you had from the first issue, carried it over, and then added even more by the end of the second issue. And it was so friggin' good. And what I love more than anything is that this is Oshawa, Ontario, I believe. And yes. Where Ed Brisson, right? So I love that Ed Brisson just like keeps tweeting out that like people keep like the people of Oshawa just like are absolutely in love with this book, because this is a small little, you know, town in Ontario, Canada, is getting all this love. And I even think like the mayor of Oshawa wrote him a letter.
Yes.
Right. About it. So I, like, to me, that is like just the greatest thing in the world. Cause here's this man, he grew up in a small, like Jeff Lemire does this, right? Like a lot of his stories take place in either fictionalized, you know, versions of the small Canadian town they grew up in. So here he is, he's writing this story, and all of a sudden it's like, bang, all this love, like from the people. And I guess he said, like, people like say, oh, where is this house? I find it. The addresses don't match up. And he goes, well, I mean, I told the artist about, you know, my house. I didn't realize that there were so many houses that actually looked like that, you know. So that just cracks me up. But like, this is an absolutely fantastic story, that a book that I feel like, If you've listened to us, you know that we love Ed Brisson. We've talked about a bunch of his books before, especially The Sultan of the Sea from AWA Studios. He's a great writer, and I feel like this is just one of those books that just kind of came out of nowhere and is going to be absolutely massive.
Yeah. If you haven't started reading The Displaced, check it out. Pick it up. The first issue, it's like unlike anything else out there in terms of a story. And then the second issue, just again, like we've been saying, it just takes I can't say natural next step, because like, you don't know that's going to happen. They talk about it, but like, it just, first two issues have been bangers, plain and simple. So check it out. I do find it funny too. There's like a little joke about the name Oshawa in this issue too. I'll leave it for you guys to go find that when you're reading. But I got a little chuckle out of that. But awesome stuff. What about Dark Horse, Joe?
Okay, I'll take us through Dark Horse and a few of these other ones. So from Dark Horse, we have If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, issue 2, which you are reading. Stranger Things, The Voyage, issue 4. And then this one confused me. Because we got it in a review, folder, Dawn Runner issue 1, written by Ron V, a book that I have dibs on, right?
Yeah.
And then it was announced, you said, late last week, that it's being released all at once in a hardcover, right? Did we read that right? Or is it like, no, we're going to release these as single issues and then give you the hardcover? Or are we just getting this first issue? It's like you talked about earlier, right?
Yeah.
Here's this book, boom. Here's the first issue, and then the hardcover comes out. So a little confused there.
I'm curious how that goes. And I think the reason, like, it's because we saw that out there, and I can't remember who like reported it, but I saw Ron V had retweeted it in some capacity.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why like I sent it over to you. I thought it was strange because we see that and then we get the first issue. The only reason I can think that this happened is because
it already gone to print.
Well, they already had gotten variant covers for the first issue,
right?
So that's probably what it was. So yeah. I'm talking about this, and I brought that up. Maybe this is like just a test, like not an unintentional test. And I would love to see how that goes. I'd be very curious. Yeah. But yeah, so Dawn Runner issue 1. Yeah, you gotta, you bastard. Yeah.
But now I gotta wait too. I get the first issue, now I gotta wait. From IDW. We have Beneath the Trees, Where Nobody Sees, issue 4. This is the book that I've referred to as Berenstain Bears Meets Dexter, although I stole that from, might have been, I can't remember what writer, more cleverly put it. So I stole that from them. But that is an apt description of that fucking awesome book. We have Star Trek, issue 18, Dungeons and Dragons, Fortune Finder, issue 5, TMNT, The Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan, issue 1. In My Little Pony, Main Event, issue 1. There's a pun there. M-A-N-E.
From, I'm waiting for the Apple Bottom story. What the
fuck? Apple Bottom jeans, yeah. Boots with fur. From Titan, we have Blade Runner 2039, issue 11. So this this is going to sound familiar. Like, what am I listening to last week's episode? No, fucking League of Comic Geeks, blame them. Blade Runner 2039, issue 11. And Rebel Moon, House of the Blood Axe, issue 3. From Ablaze, we have Almost Dead, issue 2, and The Agent, issue 5. I feel like we just got issue 4, so this could be, again, another screw-up by them. But, hey, let's not yell at them for something they haven't done yet. From Dynamite, we have Gargoyles, issue 12, Lilo and Stitch, issue 2, James Bond 007, written by Garth Ennis, issue 3. Army of Darkness Forever, issue 6. Vampirella, issue 667. Savage Red Sonja, issue 5, written by friend of the show, Dan Panosian. And I believe that is the conclusion to that story. And then we have Elvira meets H.P. Lovecraft, issue 2. From Mad Cave, Nicholas, we have Dear Editor, issue 3. I feel like it's been a hot minute since we've gotten a Dear Editor book.
Yes, yeah, and I actually got to check out the second one, too. That's one I've I fell behind on. That was a that, and I feel, was that a double? That was not a double-sized first issue. But anyways, yeah, Dear Editor, issue 3. And then we got Image.
Hold on. Before we get to Image, we have, dun-dun-dun, from Comixology, Duck and Cover, issue 3. Again, you want to talk about a hot minute since a book has come out. Yeah.
Wow.
So I got the alert on my phone that was being downloaded. So that's from Scott Snyder, of course.
Nice. But, okay. Yeah.
Good to know. Image.
Image. We got a ton, as usual, and quite a few awesome titles. We got Spawn 351, The Scorched 27, Something Epic, issue 8, The Holy Roller, issue 5, Evil, issue 5.
I'm going to stop putting that book down. From Image each month that comes out.
Because
you doing that is fucking creepy as hell.
Mira Gandolfo is going to be upset. She said I have to say it like that. She told me that, so I don't know what you want me to do.
I'm gonna put it down, and I'll say it, because you're fucking weird about it.
No, in all seriousness, we had talked about getting her on a while back, and then we just different things became priorities, and we've never still not had her on, but I think she's going to be at C2E2, and it'd be funny if we got her on and just asked her, like, what do you think about this? I think she'd like it. I think she'd
appreciate it. Oh, I know she would, and that would suck, because it would just encourage you.
So there we go. Now more motivation for me to have her on. Midlife or How to Hero at 50, issue 6. And then we got two titles that you're reading, The Bloody Dozen, A Tale of the Shrouded College, issue 4, The Bone Orchard Mythos, Tenement, issue 10. I actually also missed Dutch, issue 2 in there, which neither actually did you read the first issue of Dutch?
No.
Okay. And then we got a couple titles that you and I want to dig into, a second issue and a penultimate issue. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Infernals issue 2.
Nice. Yeah. So Ryan Parrott, Noah Gardner, John Pearson, had him on the show a while back. If you haven't checked out the Infernals yet, check out that conversation. Again, I would think, you know, second issue camp is coming out now, that if you haven't read the first issue, you could probably get your hands on it still. Pick up these two and get moving on it. We really like the first issue a lot. The second issue, same thing. We heard about a new player at the end of the second issue, and it wasn't in a way of like in the natural course of the story. It was very interesting. Like, it was like a letter to the readers. I found like it wasn't necessary, but I was also very welcome that the guys decided to do that. So we knew coming in that there was there might be a new player at some point getting added to the mix. We meet that new player here right away. Instant impact felt. Definitely going to be a handful throughout the course of this story. And then we also been told by Ryan and Noah and John that the narrators were going to be moving around, like switching around throughout the course of the story. In this issue, we get to hear from Nero, and massive issue for him on a few different levels. And this is a character, Joe, who I liked in the first issue, and now I feel like I'm invested in him significantly more after the events of the second issue of Infernals.
Yeah, see, Baphomet is still my favorite character. And there's something that Pearson does with her with her eyes, and again, we've talked about this with a few artists now, just putting this wry smile on a character in the middle of what is a really sort of twisted scene. But yeah, like, I don't want to spoil it, but the character that we're introduced to, very fitting that like that character is potentially more evil than the son of the devil.
Yeah.
I just found that to be like, oh yeah, that's fantastic. Like,
Yep.
Like, who would the son of the devil be afraid of? Oh, yeah. That.
Yep. 100%.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was a great issue to sort of further give you insight into the children or the grandchildren of the devil. But there were also some other things that happened in this issue where you go, oh,
yeah,
okay, oh boy, we're cooking with gas, pun intended, there, you know, considering we're dealing with hell and everything. But that was a fantastic issue. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. Like a great second issue. And we talked about it before. Like, we understand how important the first issue is to in terms of the business. But I really do think from like a reader like you run into people who just want to get the first issue in their collectors. And then you have people who are like, I really like this first issue. I'm absolutely going to check out the second one. I do think the second one is like, has a level of make or break, just from, at least from like a conceptual standpoint. We don't know the numbers in terms of the retention after the second versus the third and whatnot. But either way, really enjoyed what we've gotten from Ryan and Noah Gardner and John Pearson on the Infernals. And then, Joe, to round things out, we have the penultimate issue of Kill Your Darlings. Issue 7, Griff Sheridan, Ethan S. Parker, Bob Quinn. Of course, had him on the show a couple times. I know you have issues with them, but I don't think you had any issues with this particular issue.
Wallace is still alive, so so far we're good. We're good.
We'll see.
But this issue was... I mean, I think they, you know, when we had them on the first, well, when I listened to it the first time, because I wasn't with them the first time, but even when we talked to them the second time, I think this was the issue they kept alluding to way, way back when. This was a cataclysmic issue, right? Because at one, it's the penultimate issue and it's got to set up the grand finale, but so much happens. And I don't want to be like, oh, right. But like, it was epic. There were some things that happened in this issue, both from a storytelling standpoint and from an artistic standpoint, that just sort of blew me away. And, you know, I love, you know, Bob Quinn's art throughout this entire run, but this particular issue, cause we got some really big, you know, scenery and just scenes in this and sort of what's at stake, you know, for all the characters involved, the backstory that, or the revelation that one of the characters receives was huge. Right. Mm-hmm. And just everything, again, this arc has been very emotional right from the get-go. And we get to kind of circle back to that in this issue. So just, this is great stuff.
Yeah.
You should be reading it. Again, we don't encourage trade waiting. If you never got on board, you know, from the start and you're listening to us now and you're like, you know, shit, I got to read that. Then like, you go pick up volume one, read it. And then as soon as volume two drops, if you can't get your hands on, you know, the floppies, or you can grab them digitally, do so. You're missing out if you haven't been reading it.
I wonder, I don't know if I saw volume one. I'm wondering if they're going to do this all at once. It would make a lot of sense for this particular story.
I thought they did. Maybe not.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but either way, I by and large agree with everything you said. Yeah, this is definitely one of those books that you're missing out on if you haven't been checking it out. And again, like, we don't talk about it, but like, that is a book that you almost didn't read because you like, and I get it. Like that first issue kind of like, you were like, I don't know. Like the kid is gonna, not because of a quality standpoint, because it was going to freak you out, but it's like, you would have had serious FOMO, Joe, if this whole time.
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it now, according to League of Comic Geeks. It looks like it says here, Kill Your Darlings trade paperback releases July 9th. So okay. They might be doing it all at once.
Right.
So,
which does make a lot of sense. Since this is
for some reason, I thought they did a volume one, but I guess I'm just old and senile.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. But again, final issue, like, and you talked about the quality of the series. It's just been outstanding. For me, the only things that I wanted to add is like, there's so much that can happen in this final issue. Like, we can see different ways it can go, but also we don't know which way it's going to go. Love that. I mean, you can't ask for more than that going into a final chapter of a story. And the biggest thing too, to kind of like, if I was like, just sum up, like, what makes Kill Your Darlings so good? Like, of course you have Bob Quinn's art, but from a writing standpoint, at its core, what this story does so well is like, it, you have like every time a question gets raised, which I mean, for this story is freaking constant, the answers that we get lead to more questions. And I don't think you can ask for more than that from a great story. So you have that paired with Bob Quinn's art style. And it's just, and what he's done in this series, we can't praise him enough, just how versatile he's been. There's one cute, like, we've had a lot of cute characters in this story. I talk about it all the time, but there was one in particular, like, more so than ever, where I was like, nothing better happen to that fucking character. I am going to be pissed if that character dies. I like, you know, some of the, like, a lot of these cute characters, but like, they're more so than ever with that specific one. So
yeah, I think that was your,
yeah, 100%. So without spoiling it, but yeah, so that is going to do it for us this weekend. Reminder, if you haven't already subscribed to one of our audio channels, it's the only place you can get our Fireside Chats. You never know when those are going to come, because we never know when those are going to come. So keep your peepers popped, as Joe likes to say. And Joe, until next week, stay sexy.
You know it, baby.
I like Nick's just like, I'm out. All right, we're done.